Welcome to Calder Navigation, the podcast that embarks on a transformative journey through the lives and stories of the incredible people of Calderdale. I'm your host, Samantha McCormick, Artistic Director and Founder of Curious Motion, and I'm thrilled to have you join me on this adventure. Calder Navigation invites you to open your hearts and minds to the tapestry of everyday moments and significant events that shape our lives. Through authentic and relaxed conversations, we'll delve into the complexities of what it means to be human, celebrating the diversity and resilience of our community. This podcast is not just a collection of stories. Each episode is a unique exploration, a tribute to the rich tapestry of our shared experiences. So, come and join us on this journey and let's celebrate the remarkable individuals who call the Calder Valley home, and let's uncover the depth and beauty of the human experience together. We are thrilled to welcome Caroline Seaborn to Calder Navigation. Caroline is a survivor. She is a beacon of resilience who has overcome immense challenges. Escaping domestic violence, she found solace in Yorkshire, particularly in our vibrant community of Elland. Her dream of helping others with their mental health led her to volunteer at Healthy Minds, Calderdale's very own mental health charity, which has supported her and many others with their well-being. In this interview, Caroline will share her extraordinary experiences and shed light on the power of reducing stigma, community support, and the importance of nurturing our own mental well-being. Her story is an inspiration to us all. Before we go into the podcast, please note there is a content warning for this episode. Caroline will be sharing her personal experiences with bipolar disorder and mental health challenges. We understand that these topics can be sensitive for some listeners, and we want to ensure everyone's well-being as best we can. If you feel that this content may be triggering, please take care of yourself and consider skipping this episode or listening with care. Welcome, Caroline. Thank you very much for coming along to chat to me today. I'm really excited to talk to you.
That's great. Thank you. I'm excited to talk too.
So could we start with just a little bit about yourself and your background? Can you introduce yourself for us?
Yep, I'm Caroline. I'm 59, 16 October.
Woohoo!
I live in Elland. And I'm a volunteer for Healthy Minds Calderdale. I do quite a lot of volunteering. I'm married and I have two children that are nicely grown up now and living independently. My daughter lives in London and my son lives in Boothtown, which is not far from Elland. I came to Elland 12 years ago. Before that, I lived in Illingworth, but for a couple of years. And before that, I lived in Huddersfield for 2 years. And then before that, I lived in London.
Oh, okay. So you've been both ends of England in a way.
Yeah, I've moved around a little bit. I've moved around, but I've actually settled in Elland. Mm. We've been here for 12 years now.
Great, and you feel settled here?
I do. This is home.
Lovely.
This is home.
Lovely. And do you find that feeling of being settled, does that come from knowing your neighbours, or do you feel like you get involved? I know your volunteering's a key part of that as well, isn't it?
It is, definitely. I mean, the neighbours are lovely. The street, because it's a very long street, and there are certain parts that you don't really go to, but I think that's everywhere. I think that's a global thing.
Yeah.
But generally, the people are really nice, the neighbours are really nice and helpful. I love the house. And I love Elland. Mm. You know, everything you need, because I'm disabled, so I find it difficult getting around. And everything I need, like the butchers, the fruit and veg shop, it's all here. I mean, okay, it's not great. Well, we have got big supermarkets, actually. We've got Morrison's and we've got Aldi. But I tend to try and shop locally, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty settled.
Lovely.
Settled.
That's great. And we're going to talk a little bit about your volunteering, because you volunteer for something that happens right in the centre of Elland, don't you? But before we get there, I know when we were chatting before today,
you were keen to come on and have a chat with me because you're really passionate about supporting people with their mental health.
Yes.
And I just wondered where that passion comes from.
Well, I've got type 2 bipolar.
Okay.
And I've struggled most of my adult life with mental health. Since I was 16, so I'm 59 now, so that's a lot of years of struggle. And I've managed to find, or the doctors have found, the right medication to keep me even, on an even keel. And I've actually been in recovery now for 6 years.
Wonderful.
So I haven't had any episodes, you know, of bipolar. You get a few spikes, but nothing to worry about. So my personal experiences of mental health lights a fire in my soul about mental health. And then I've got friends and plus family members that have suffered from mental health and seeing the lack of support and the, you know, the help that's not available in their particular towns. And I think it's shocking. I think it's absolutely shocking. And they wonder why there's so many problems. People are having so many problems. People are having so many difficulties. And, you know, politically speaking, obviously, we need more money.
We always need more money, don't we?
We need more money. But it's not only the money, it's the stigma. We need to get rid of the stigma. And people need to start either educating themselves or accepting that mental health is here and it's here to stay.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's, I've got friends, if they haven't suffered from mental health, they've got family members who have or they've got friends who have. So it's global, you know, it's not...
Totally. Everybody has mental health, don't they? Whether it's good, bad or anywhere in between that. It's not something separate to other people. All of us experience our own mental well-being, you know, and that's everything from great days, really feeling very well in our own mental well-being and emotional well-being and sort of psychological things to like you've shared, mental health challenges and conditions and things that are diagnosed and everything else. And it's a really key part of being a human being, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you can keep your mental health in check, good for you, you know, you go. But share that.
Yeah.
Share it, you know, perhaps people who don't know or family members even that are too embarrassed to say that they're struggling, you know, perhaps, but you notice something, just share that information and pass it around and support other people that are struggling. I don't think we talk about it enough.
No.
I don't think we talk about it enough. And I think it should be in homes and it should be in classrooms. I mean, I've been told by some of my colleagues at Healthy Minds that things are starting to improve as far as education is concerned, you know, in schools and homes. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so convinced.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've still got a long way to go.
It is tricky, isn't it? Because it is sort of, I suppose, on the agenda in terms of it's maybe more in the media now. We hear lots of maybe well-known people, famous people saying, talk about your mental health, do this, do that. And it's hard, isn't it, to find that, you know, what does that actually mean, talking about your mental health?
Yes.
It's not putting anybody in a situation where suddenly you have to share the deepest, darkest experiences of your life with somebody you don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, all of this sort of stuff. And it's the nuances of what that means, isn't it? That maybe we're not getting across very well. And that it's personal and that it's individual. And there isn't a one way to say, do this, do that, is there? Like you said, it's about that stigma, breaking that stigma down. Because if we didn't have that stigma and that shame around You know, sharing that you're struggling, or even I sometimes find, I don't know if you've ever found this, but when I want to just talk about it generally in a positive way, people are like, oh, well, you know, that, and you kind of feel bad for even just mentioning it.
Yeah.
Let alone talking about any challenges.
I don't anymore feel bad.
Great.
Now
great.
I'm very, forthright.
Yeah.
Because I feel so, so strongly about it. There was a bit of a challenge the other day talking about stigma and stuff. But they were going to change the mend. I facilitate the anxiety and depression group in Elland once a fortnight.
That's for Healthy Minds, isn't
That's for Healthy Minds, Calderdale. And they were talking about changing the name of the group, which I strongly objected.
Right.
Because it's all good and well trying to pretty things up and soften things. But people go there because they're anxious or they're depressed. They want to. They were talking about calling it a well-being club, and for me, that just doesn't do it, because you how can I put it? The stigma is there, and it's almost like you're saying, "Well, okay, we'll call it Hairy Fairy, then no one's offended, you know.
Yep.
But why should people be offended going a group being called anxiety and depression? That's what it is.
And if we use the words more and we have more awareness, then you would hope that does reduce over time that feeling of shame
exactly.
and stigma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yes, I strongly objected.
Yeah.
And they'd met me for the first time, so I don't know what impression I've given. I've come across quite scary.
Well, you're sticking to your guns for a very, very important reason, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So let's talk a little bit more about that group, because I know it's something that's really important to the people that attend. And it's open, is it every 2 weeks that it's on in Elland?
Every second Tuesday in the month.
Okay, great. And it can be open to anybody who
You can't just walk in.
Right, okay.
You have to contact Healthy Minds Calderdale.
Yeah.
And speak to either Kath McNally or Di Darby. And they'll get you rolling for the group. Then they'll let me know that you're coming so I can sort of welcome you. And then you're in the group.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And what's it like? We'll talk a moment in about the impact for the people who come to the group. But I wondered, what's it like for you to facilitate that group? What's that experience like?
Do you know, people often say that to me and ask me that, and they say, is it stressful? Everyone's problems, you know. And I said, but it's not everyone's problems. It's not stressful. It's actually quite gratifying. And I feel quite humble to be able to facilitate the group, and that Healthy Minds have given me all the training that I need. And more to be able to help people. And that's what it is. It's helping, it's supporting people during those dark times. And I think that's really important. And I think that's why the group is so, because the group that's there now they're very strong, very strong. It's a very strong group. And they welcome anyone that comes into the group, and I think people feel that and, you know, pick up on that. I feel quite humble.
It feels like a privilege in a way.
It does. And, you know, seeing people come in and they're at the worst, and then perhaps 6-8 weeks later, you know, you do a bit of resilience work and all that sort of thing. And they're not happy, but they're chirping, you know, and they're feeling stronger. And seeing that, witnessing that, is second to none for me.
Yeah.
Second to none.
Yeah, really.
Which
wonderful.
Is why I want to be a counsellor.
Right, yes. So, you're training to be a counsellor at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going, well, that's heavy.
Yeah, I bet. That must be intense.
It really is. It really is. It's a diploma, so yes, it's quite heavy. But I love it. Absolutely love it. My husband said to me, don't you get fed up reading the same subjects, the same thing? But it's not the same. It's, you know, there's lots of different aspects of mental health. And, you know, it's, I love it. I love it.
So in the group, without obviously sharing any individuals or anything like that, what sorts of things, are there sort of particular things you take people through that are very structured, or is it very open, or is it a mix? Can you give us a couple of examples of sort of what somebody might experience if they came to the group?
Okay. Obviously, the group had welcomed them, as they do,
yeah.
because they're a great group. And we have our first step is the group agreement, where we talk about confidentiality and empathy and, you know, things like that. And then we have the check-in. Now, it's entirely up to people what they want to do, if they want to check in or not. Some people decide, not today, I'm not feeling up to it, and you just pass around to the next person. But most people do have something they want to say.
From that check-in, do you just support people with sort of what arises in the room that day?
Yeah, it's, I support, and the group support.
Yeah,
each individual supports, and some individuals offer advice because they've been through a similar thing. If I've experienced that, because it's peer support, it's not counselling, it's peer support. So that's working with lived experience. And so if I've shared a similar experience with someone, I will say, well, have you tried this? Or what about contacting that person? And, you know, there's, I do have quite a big address book. You know, there's always someone there that I can point them towards for help or for support. And I think the most important thing about the group is they get it out. It's shared. You know, it's like this, like they say, a problem shared is a problem heard. And I think that's a big relief for people. It's just getting it all out there.
Yeah, there's something very powerful about that, isn't there?
Especially with mental health, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't talk about
it,
we're so busy pretending to everyone that we're okay and, you know, there's nothing wrong, when really inside you're actually screaming.
Yeah, it's like wearing a mask all day,
It is. And you do that not just because of the stigma, but because you don't want to worry your mum. And
sure.
You know, I don't like worrying my children. But now, the way I look after myself is, if I don't feel right, I'm saying so.
And do you share that with your children and your family?
I share it with my children, I share it with my husband. Because I don't want to go backwards.
Sure.
You know, I want to keep going forward. But years ago, I would have been that person. No, I'm fine. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me. That's another one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about me. When you need someone to worry about you sometimes.
You do. And also, I wonder, I'm sure you've heard this, people might say things like, oh, but what I'm dealing with isn't anywhere near as bad as what this person's dealing with or you're dealing with. And it can be difficult sometimes for all of us, I think, and myself included, to go for yourself. That might not be in your experience as serious as X, but it's just as valid.
Of course.
And it's not about some things are worth more attention than others either, is
it? No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that people suffering from mental health should be treated as well as what cancer patients are treated.
Yeah.
And like they've got Macmillan and places like that. I think mental health should be up there with any other illness.
Same. I totally agree. Yeah, but and also because we can't fully separate, really, our physical and mental health are actually completely one thing, interlinked.
It is.
And, you know, if you have a physical illness or diagnosis, that will impact your mental health and vice versa. And a lot of the time, I think our culture in this part of the world, we separate everything to try and understand it, and we have specialists in like minute details of one thing, and nobody talks to each other.
No, absolutely.
And it's incredibly frustrating, and always comes back to adding more stress onto people, taking away their emotional energy, you know, and it can cause more issues as well.
Of course, this kind of very separated
understanding of our overall health, which includes everything rather than just our sort of physical health, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I've been reading a book, I've been doing a lot of reading.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The Myth of Normal by Gaber Mate.
Oh, I am a massive fan of Gaber Mate.
Right,
amazing.
So you probably know what I'm about to say.
No, please share, yeah.
His this book is about what he's saying, very, very basically, is that your mental health can spark off your physical health. He goes into neurotransmitters and all that sort of stuff, but if you can get beyond that from what he's saying. And he's saying, like, for example, I've got rheumatoid arthritis and I'm at stage two. There are three stages.
Right.
And it's quite painful. It's quite painful. Now, what Gabor is saying is that when I was young, if I had trauma, which I did have trauma as a child, this could have damaged some of these neurotransmitters. And somehow or in some way, however the body works, you know, it sparked off my physical illnesses, because I've actually got eight illnesses.
Right, okay.
And I'm starting to think to myself, well, actually, he could be right. You know, he could be right, because if I can get my therapy and talk about these issues, this childhood trauma and sort of, and get it out and get the help that I need to do that, maybe then my rheumatoid arthritis will never go away. I know that. I'm aware of that. But I might be able to control it a little bit better.
Yeah.
And plus, I'll know what sort of treatment I might need. You know, but that's sort of a bit up in the air at the moment. But it's just a thought, you know, that your mental health, if you don't take care of your mental health, how it can spark off physical ailments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
know, if we know about that beforehand, then we can be pre-warned and we can try and avoid it.
Absolutely, and we can approach our well-being in a different way that's more, hopefully, more positive and preventative.
Yeah, exactly, preventative, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is really fascinating, isn't it, the whole body link.
It really is. It's like, is it really like that? Is it, you know, is it, could that be?
Yeah.
And then I think, well, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, I think if you've had lived experience along any type of lines where you have, like you said, experienced trauma, challenges with your emotional well-being and things like that, and you think back to maybe how your body was or is, or maybe it's just feel like physical sensation, like aches, pains, lower back pain particularly, can be sparked a lot from emotional.
Yeah.
From my experience personally and professionally working with people through the body, things like lower back pain seem to be very linked to stress and other things.
Really?
And I'm sure it's far more complex
than that.
I get
lower back pain.
Yeah.
I really do.
There's a lot of, there's some research I read recently about that around, you know, it's not, lower back pain is often not coming just from a physical, you know, like you'll be told, oh, strengthen your core, for example, which is valid for some people. But for others, that may not actually be where that's coming from.
No.
Again, it's that approaching the body separately from the mind, which is just becoming more and more and more unhelpful, I think. Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? We could talk about that all day, but
we could
better
talk
not.
About it all day, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you as a sort of final question. It's a big question, so it's final-ish. When we chatted before today, before we were recording, and we were just having a little chat about what you might like to talk about and things like that, you said to me that you're 59, as you shared earlier, and that you felt you were starting your life again.
Yes.
And that was really interesting to me, and I wondered if you'd be happy to share a little bit about why you said that.
Sure. It's mainly bipolar related.
Okay.
Because I went undiagnosed for many years of bipolar, so I didn't receive the right treatment, I didn't receive the right support. And this is over a span of 30 years. And my life was in such a mess.
Mm.
It was chaotic, as bipolar is chaotic.
Yeah.
I went from one horrific mistake to another. And I moved to Yorkshire 30 years ago to be with my family, because I left because of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And things were still very up and down because I'd still not been diagnosed.
Mm.
And to try and cut a long story short, I was diagnosed. And although my physical health was going downhill very rapidly, my mental health was improving because I was getting the right treatment.
Mm.
I'd been in hospital a couple of times on a secure unit, but they sorted me out, you know, and it wasn't in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Dewsbury, because I got a bee in my bonnet about the Dales.
Right.
But that's another story. So I've got the bipolar, I think, under control. And that's when I started volunteering, because I've been in recovery 6 years. I've been a volunteer for 6 years.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And I've decided that I'd like to be a counsellor, and I'm redoing all my studies and all that sort of thing, GCSEs, a diploma.
Mm.
And it is my life starting over again. I'm 59, and some people have said to me, don't you just want to chill out and relax? And I said, no, because I missed my opportunities in the past because of my mental health. And now that it's under control, I want my life to start again.
Yeah. And I suppose you've seen, sadly, had to see the lack of support that you had.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, and the fact that had it been, I'm assuming, much better understood and there much more services and resource in place, you wouldn't have had to go through that.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So that, you know, that's part of your drive, isn't
absolutely.
It now?
Absolutely, it really is. It is part of my drive. You're right, you've hit the nail on the head. I wouldn't like anyone to go through what I went through. And that actually brings tears to my eyes, because it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. It's 2023.
Yeah.
We're one of the richest countries, islands in the world. Why are we treating people like that?
Absolutely.
You know, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I think the more publicity, the more education, the more money, obviously it takes money, but having said that, Healthy Minds Calderdale, they have funding issues, as most charities
do.
Yes, yeah. But the group in Elland, the only thing it costs to run that group is the hire of the room.
Mm. Mm.
Everything else is...
Yeah. And community-based services are so powerful, aren't they? Like you've shared, peer-to-peer support in somebody's local area where they live is essential
Definitely.
And it's not all about hospitals and medical environments. It's about lives in their towns where people live with their peers, with their family, with their friends.
It is. I mean, the groups are essential. In mental health, I mean, they've got loads of groups for drug addiction. They've got loads of groups for alcohol abuse. But what about mental health?
Just generally, because people will come to, I assume, to your group, you know, with anxiety or depression or, you know, a very combined mixture for very different reasons, I would imagine. But it's sometimes about, this is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And being able, like you said, to share that.
Yeah, definitely.
So just remind us again how we can access, if anybody would really like some more information on that group in Elland, can you just remind us?
It's Healthy Minds Calderdale. If they ask for Kath McNally, spelt with a C, and Diane Darby, they'll point them into the right direction.
We'll put that information in the episode show notes as well, so if anybody is looking for it, they can go on our website or on their podcast app.
Brilliant.
And the information will be there as
Brilliant.
Well.
Brilliant. Healthy Minds Calderdale are absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
They really are. The work they do is amazing.
Yeah, we have to definitely give them a big shout out.
Definitely.
And to Nicola from Healthy Minds for connecting us particularly
Absolutely,
as well.
She's lovely, isn't Nicola?
Yeah, we've been working quite closely with Nicola and the wider team to make sure our services are accessible to people locally as well. And I agree, they're a wonderful charity and we just need more and more people, don't we, to be doing what they can to break this stigma down and open up mental health so that we can all access support if we need it, or just live in a life where you can be yourself instead of having to pretend.
Or if a close family member or a relative needs that support and you're not sure what to do, give someone like Healthy Minds a call.
Exactly.
Because they support other people. It's not just about suffering from mental health, they support families and relatives.
And you don't need to have a diagnosis or have a specific thing, do you? It can be anybody can access their services.
Anybody.
Yeah. Great, wonderful. Well, Caroline, I am so grateful to you for sharing your personal experience with us so openly, and your passion is just wonderful. We need more of you in the world, I think.
Oh, thank you.
And wishing you all the luck with your counselling course as well.
Sure.
When are you hoping to finish that?
No, it won't be till next year.
Next
September, I think it is. And then if I decide I want to specialise, I've got to go on a little bit more.
Right, great.
But we reckon in 2 years.
Fantastic. So. How exciting.
I know.
Well, it's wonderful. And just thank you so much for everything that you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. It's been wonderful.
It's been a pleasure.
A big thank you to Caroline for sharing her story with us. What an inspiration she is. A reminder of the details for the peer support group in Elland, in case you or someone you know might benefit from attending. They're held on the second and fourth Tuesday afternoons of each month at Southgate Methodist Church. Healthy Minds also offer lots of other peer support groups and activities across Calderdale, including mindfulness sessions, gardening, and groups for people with long-term health conditions. To attend a group, you need to register first, so please contact Healthy Minds directly to do that. You can email them on info@healthymindscalderdale.co.uk or call them on 01422 345 154. They also have offices in Halifax and Todmorden. This information is included in this episode's show notes too, which you can access via your podcast platform of choice or on Curious Motion's website. And that brings us to the end of another captivating episode of Calder Navigation. Thank you for joining us on this voyage through the stories that shape Calderdale. We hope that these conversations have touched your heart, inspired your mind, and reminded you of the power of human connection. As we navigate life together, let's carry these stories with us, cherishing the lessons they teach us and the bonds they strengthen.
Remember, Calder Navigation is just one part of the Welland Activator Project, a collective effort to combat loneliness and isolation in our community. We encourage you to explore the various classes, workshops and walks offered through the programme and join us at our special showcase event, Welland, where we can come together and celebrate the magic of Elland and Calderdale. You can find out more about the project at curiousmotion.org.uk. We would like to express our deepest gratitude to Calderdale Council, reaching communities from the National Lottery Community Fund and Arts Council England for their invaluable support in making this podcast and the Welland Activator possible. Thanks to Untold Creative for production support. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Calder Navigation on your preferred podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And please help us spread the word by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and anyone who might find solace, inspiration, or a sense of belonging in these stories. As we conclude this chapter, we invite you to keep exploring, keep connecting, and keep navigating the currents of life with curiosity and compassion. Remember, the journey continues, and together we can make a difference. Until next time, fair winds and warm hearts.